Okay. All right, Sunday morning, we're going to start with the Prophet's Corner. This is 6/4/23. Can you even think that it's a month away from July 4th? The title of this is called Building the New Jerusalem. All right, this is what the Lord said to me. I've never seen it this way. As the apostolic team leaks up, it will be like in the days of Nehemiah when I sent him and his team to rebuild Jerusalem. They built the natural walls. You and your team and other teams with hands clasped will build up a spiritual house, the New Jerusalem. Now, our religious thinking has this thing of coming out of the sky, all this mess. This is a spiritual house. What did Jesus do? He built a temple made without hands, a spiritual house. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So it stands to reason that the members of the New Jerusalem is a spiritual house, right? It is. There's a place where the angel does the measuring, and then also we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So there's a symbology there that we are God's temple. All right, we're going to look at some scriptures here. This is Nehemiah chapter 1. Many years ago, the Lord spoke to me about Nehemiah, and I never understood it. Maybe it was just for this certain time here, this new understanding. I think what grieves me the most about the body of Christ is they're too natural in their thinking. It's like if we don't see something, we don't believe. We never have been a natural house. We've always been a spiritual house. Okay, this is the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. And it came to pass the month Chislu in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. They said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates are ever buried with fire. Does that look sound familiar to you? The church is a wreck. And there's a few. There's a remnant. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept. Do you ever feel that way? And mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. See, it's not raising up in Israel. His people have been scattered to the nations for a long time. You ain't going to be called in by no Rothschild. The Balfour Declaration. No. God's calling them in. Putting his name in their forehead, right? We've read that in Revelation 7. Probably read it again here today. Remember, I beseech you, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if he transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out into the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and I will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my people, or that my name there. Now there are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, to the prayer of thy servants, who desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer." You know, when I sit down to do this, sometimes I'm amazed what actually transpires as I sit down to type out the thoughts that I put down. All right, let's read chapter 2. "And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Xerxes the king, that wine was before him. I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. And said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the palace of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, For why dost thou make requests? So I pray to the God of heaven." I want to put y'all in remembrance of, I brought a few things from this book by Cindy Jacobs called Possessing the Gates of Your Enemy. The gates are actually places of authority. All right. "And I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, The queen also sitting by him, For how long shall thy journey be? And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, If it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter from Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace which appertain to the house, and of the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me, according to the good hand of my God upon me. Then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had set captains of the army and horsemen with me. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. So I came to Jerusalem, was there 3 days, and I rose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, into the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire." You know what I see in this? They rose up at night to do this so nobody else would see. Sounds like intercessors done it up in the middle of the night, seeking God. "Then I went on to the gate of the fountain and the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then I went up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then said I unto them, Ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more of reproach." Do you see what as I'm reading this, do you see what I see? What the Lord has spoken about raising up apostolic teams all across the United States and the world. This is the wall, y'all. New Jerusalem. "Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, Let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us, and said, What is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build, but we have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem." All right. We're going to skip 3 and go to 4. But when it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? You know, this reminds me now, I picked up a package of paper towels not realizing what was on it when I got home. It's the inclusive narrative. And I thought, it's inclusive except for one group of people, God's people. Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity. See, these are religious leaders here. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So build we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. This is something new to the body of Christ. I don't mean doing programs. I mean spiritual work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdods heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there's much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which built by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places which ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore, said I, in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places, I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one into his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, the bows, the harbingers. And the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laded, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. Feel like you've been under a lot of warfare? What are you doing? We're building the wall. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. That's why the Lord sent us, clasp your hands. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us, our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be guard to us and labor on the day. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that every one put them off for washing. In other words, you didn't do nothing, but 24/7, 24/7, you were working and guarding the wall, working, guarding the wall. That's what we're doing. That's why we're so weary. But I believe help is on the way. All right, Revelation 7. Starting with verse 1. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Now, we already know by Scripture that the true Jew is not one circumcised in the flesh, but that one, those circumcised in the heart. So these are all races of people that have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. There's no Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male or female in the body of Christ. All right, he sealed the 12 and Judah, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Nephilim, Manasseh, Simeon, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. As I've said before, we might find out one day we're actually in a lineage that we didn't know anything about. Maybe so, maybe not. Doesn't matter. We're grafted in, right? Regardless. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number. So it's not just a limited 144,000. This is the dimensions of the New Jerusalem, the temple made without hands. Right? Which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, have washed their robes and made their white in the blood of the Lamb. This is not natural Israel, y'all. Therefore are they before the throne of God. Where are we seated? Heavenly places. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Jesus was walking among the churches when he was talking to John. That's what he saw. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now I know you're religious thinking. You're thinking all the stuff you've always thought. One day we're going to see all this in heaven. This is happening now. This is a revelation of Jesus Christ and what he did, this book. It's not some far-off pie-in-the-sky thing. They're all waiting for an escape to get out of this place. No. This is what we are in the Spirit. Now, Nehemiah's day, it was a natural temple. Today, it is not. It's a spiritual house. Peter says we're lively stones being built up a spiritual house. Okay. All right, the 144,000 is not a number of people, but the dimensions of New Jerusalem. This is Revelation chapter 14. If I could ever get people to realize that what John has seen is a vision that needs interpretation. You know what I'm saying? Most visions do, dreams. All right, verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000. There's the New Jerusalem. There's the church. Having his father's name written in their foreheads. We just saw the name was written in their foreheads. Maybe that's your tribe. Written in your forehead from chapter 7. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man can learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Have we been redeemed? Absolutely. We sit now in heavenly places. These are they which are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. So we know they're not Jews, unless they're born again. Whithersoever he goeth, these were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory unto him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, which, wait a minute, I lost my place. Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. Does that sound like now? You're thinking, what's the context here? All of a sudden, he's talking about the church redeemed, and then he's talking about the mark. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever. The Lord's been talking to us about he's cleaning house, cleaning out the closets. The time of the tares coming out of the wheat. Does that sound like this? And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works to follow them. There's been many die from the jab. Many. Not everyone, a lot of them were placebos, but there were many of the Republican states were targeted. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in the sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. He that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. I'm telling you today, these people that God are raising up, these teams, these are the remnant. These are the ones that God has called. And they're coming forth, and they're going to be recognized. They're going to step up into their places. They won't be behind the scenes anymore. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven. He also having a sharp sickle. Why would God clean up the mess if we're just to be raptured out of here? He would not do so. He'd just let the devil have it, right? Isn't that what's happened before? No, this time it's not going to be that way. And what happens when there's chaos on the earth like there is today? Order. God's order. God's government. Restored. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it in the great winepress of the wrath of God. Did you ever think we'd be here to see this? And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even to the horses' bridles by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Sounds like, you know, the tribunal started in June. Military presence has been ramped up worldwide. Something's going on, y'all. Something's going on. I know it's been hard. I know it's been tough. There's times I said, Lord, if I didn't know what you'd call me to do, I'd say, please just take me on. But you know what? We've got a job to do. I know most people probably think religious thinking is just going to, with the twinkling of an eye, everything's changed. No, God's government will be placed on the earth. His order will be put in place. His government will rise up. This is the natural reign on this earth. This is where he wants us on this earth. That's why he's going to give us a new heaven and a new earth. Why would he do that? When you pose questions to people like that, especially those that are so steeped in religious theory, they don't know what to say to that. I said, why, if we're just going to do the escape clause, why in the world will we go through all that we're going through? We wouldn't. If God was just going to let the devil have it, which that's what most Christians believe, they just believe, yeah, we've got to go through the 7 years tribulation. I thought, what do you think we've been going through? Anyway, I hope y'all see it the way I see it. All right, Revelation 21. Yes, this book is a dream, a vision, whatever he was seeing, like a projection screen probably before his eyes, because the scenes change. John has seen these things. Anytime anybody's had any kind of anything like that from God, more than likely they're going to have some interpretation. Okay, Lord, what do you mean? Instead of taking it that, oh, it means this, it means that, it means this, it means that. Most of it, to most people, it is just literal. A literal temple in Israel. Well, no, it ain't the end time yet. I ain't got a temple over there yet. Well, let me give you a clue here. There ain't going to be any. Not that God's in. Christians are so funny about that. And they're a spiritual house, supposedly. They're thinking that God's going to honor their sacrifices and all their crap with the red heifer and all that mess. No, he isn't. He moved out. He said, I ain't coming back. Not ever. I'm going to dwell in men. Temple made without hands. 21, verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a great wall, or wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes, the children of Israel, those that are sealed, right? On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. Ah, apostles of the Lamb. And in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof, and the city lieth 4 square. And the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And he goes on to talk about the foundation stones. which coincides with the old covenant in the tabernacle, all the stuff they made with these stones. The breastplate on the priest was the 12 tribes. Okay. Talks about each foundation is a stone. Here, the building of the wall of it was jasper. The city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. Here comes Peter talking about lively stones being built up a spiritual house. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth a sardonyx, the sixth a sardis, the seventh crystallite or cryolite, the eighth the beryl, the ninth the topaz, the tenth the chrysoprase, the 11th the jacinth, the 11th an amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold as it was transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb were the temple of it. He's describing the church, y'all. Not a physical thing, a spiritual thing, a spiritual house. All right, Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. So this temple's coming down, the symbology of it's coming down the earth, and God's going to dwell in it on the earth. He's going to be among us. Oh, it's exciting to me. All right, this house is coming down out of heaven. Where are we seated? Are supposed to be seated? Colossians 3. If ye then be risen with Christ. See, Christians are always looking up, looking up, looking up, look up for your redemption draweth nigh. No, look down, look down, look down! We're up here. Quit looking up. Oh, God, do some, do some, do some. He already did it all, y'all. Look down. You're seated with him in heavenly places and have been given authority over everything that the devil has done. All the works of the devil. It doesn't make any difference how we feel. We don't walk by faith. Sight, we walk by faith. You don't walk by how you feel. You don't walk by how your circumstances are. We walk by faith, what the Word already says about it. As far as God is concerned, He's already taken care of everything that concerns you. Remember last week, the word that the Lord gave me? From the moment that your words were uttered, I started towards you to fulfill what you asked me of. I've come for your words. If we keep our words, no one can expect it to show up any moment. All right. If ye be been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, or Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. What'd I just say? For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him. We're not going up.
We're already with him.
He goes on to talk about, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For the which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. See, we've got to keep our minds where we really are from and where we really are seated, risen with him, with Christ, when these things come, that we don't be pulled down and we don't succumb. We don't get to thinking earthly, limited. We don't get in despair, because there's a lot of people in despair, lots of people in despair. Okay, 2 Peter. Looking down on your enemies. I will say this about Mike Thompson. It was back whenever, I think it was before President Trump was elected, but anyway, the Lord took him to heaven. He saw below him where he was. He said, I was like in a tower thing, and I could look down and see the second heaven there was full of demonic entities. But he was above them. He was sitting. He was up there with God. And the Lord told him to speak. And when he spoke, the angels, zoom, 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 started doing all this stuff. But the problem was, they'd knock out two or three things, and then four or five would pop up because the negativity of men. The Christians that know their authority in Christ Jesus would speak to those things, and the angels would go, just like with Daniel, and do what needed to be done. But negative mouths of men would speak, and it'd start building these other demonic strongholds. That's why we got to keep our mouths right. Now, I know we can't help what other people do, but anyway, 2 Peter 2, verse 5. And spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overflow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. And deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelt among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Let me see for him. Okay. So you see here, yeah, it's vexing. It's vexing to hear the things we're hearing, the things we're seeing, all these companies coming out with all their wokeness and all their stuff like that. Yeah, it's hard to even be here. We're here physically, but we are not here spiritually. Our view is not the view of a person that does not know what we know. Do we have our work cut out for us? This ministry is to set people free from the strongholds of their minds. How's that going to happen? Getting the word in them so their mind gets renewed. Everyone here today has been changed. You're not the same person that you were when you started here. I'm not the same person. I don't view hardly anything the same. What's done that? That word that they tell you is no good because it's incomplete? I would say if you got one scripture, it's got all the power that needs to do anything for you that needs to be done. That's why they want to take it away. Don't you think for a minute the evil ones don't know? They do. All right. All right. 2 John 2:19 says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. what Jesus told the religious leaders. Of course, being religious, they thought he meant the natural temple, Solomon's temple. Yeah, let's watch you do that in 3 days. It took him how many years to build? He wasn't even talking about the same thing. Oh, people that are looking for natural signs will be deceived. Scary, right? Those that walk by the Spirit will get it. The body of Christ follow the Spirit, not signs. Well, they're building that third temple over there. They've already found the red heifer. Who gives a rat? Not me. We're not walking by their signs over there. Rothschild operation, y'all. All right, back to the Lord. Just as Nehemiah rebuilt the natural walls of Jerusalem, my apostolic teams will restore my spiritual house. You will encounter opposition, but hold the line and continue the work. That's what Nehemiah, they took just enough time to change clothes so that I guess the women could wash their clothes, but they didn't stop. They ate with one hand, and they built with the other, and then they held their weapon. They were building the wall and holding the weapon on the other hand. Like doo-doo-doo, ch-k-k, you know. It was 24/7. Does that feel that way to you? Like it's 24/7? It's not a, well, I went through a trial. I'm thinking, you went through a trial? What about from, I won't even go there, 24/7, you know. Anyway. All right, let me finish here. You will encounter opposition, but hold the line and continue the work. Just like Nehemiah and his team in the natural, you will do it by the Spirit. Nehemiah prevailed, and so will you. All right, go to Revelation chapter 16. Verse 17, and the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided in three parts. And the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. No more of that under the sea stuff. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. There's those 60 to 100 pound hailstones. Let me look here. It triggered something when I was reading this. Oh, well, it got past me. All right. Let me read finish what the Lord said. I've had you speaking of the ley line from the federal court in Midland, Texas, to the state capitol in Austin. I'm cleaning out the closets. I'm uprooting the seat of the enemy, just as you have been proclaiming. So many are waiting on me to do something. I'm waiting on my teams to proclaim so I can do something. Did you hear that? Oh, this is what triggered it. I think it's over there whenever it's before the seals were open. And John was crying because no one was there to open the book. And then the angels brought the vials that were full of the prayers of the saints. That's what caused it to be able to be open. That's what it's talking about here. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. See, I believe our prayers initiate these things. Just like, let me say this again, what the Lord said here. I'm uprooting the seed of the enemy, just as you have been proclaiming. So many are waiting on me to do something. I'm waiting on my teams to proclaim so I can do something. I allow what you allow. It is time to stop allowing what you do not want and start saying what you do want. See, we have to watch that situations don't cause us to start speaking fear out of our mouths and things that we do not want. I'm cleaning out the closets across the nation of the world where I can find those that will obey me and speak to their mountains to be removed. Keep doing what you're doing, for you are making progress. Because you pray to me, the Lord of the harvest, I'm sending workers into the harvest field. Expect to hear of revival, not of Christians across the land. See, it's all about Christians and revivals. No, it's not about Christians. But the new souls won into the kingdom. This is how Texas will be great again. He's cleaning the swamp in Austin, Texas, at the Capitol. You just watch it. This is how America will be great again. Mindset changes. People changing their minds for the better. How is order going to be restored? They're going to hear the word of the Lord, and they're going to get themselves in gear into God's order. That's what the apostles did. When a problem arose, Paul dealt with it, or Peter dealt with it, or whoever else. The principalities and powers are losing their seat in Texas. Texas is taking the lead. It will flow into other states and eventually across the world. We do everything bigger and better in Texas, right? All right, go back to Mark 4. Lord's had us on Mark 4 a few weeks. And he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and it did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were with him, with the 12, asked him of this parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. You know, all of our lands are filled. They're hard, hard ground. That's why the team's praying. Breaking up our fallow ground so that the words of the gospel can go into good ground. This is the harvest. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves. In other words, they don't continue in it. I had somebody tell me, I want to fight. But the problem is they're not putting themselves in a position or in a place to get to the place where they can fight. This isn't a physical fight. And have no root in themselves, and so dear for but for a time, afterward when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Oh, well, it's just too hard. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. They do it for a little while, and then, you know, next thing you know, they, oh, I forget. You don't forget to take the medications every 3 or 4 hours, do you? No. We've got a timer set for that. But you know what? We forget to read the word. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. And then he goes on to talk about your candle on a candlestick. All right, Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When you put the kingdom first, taking no thought about your life, you can expect to never lack or want for any good thing. To fret and worry and fill your mind with care will keep the cart before the horse, and you won't go anywhere. I'm saying to you to cast all care and put the horse out front and get to work. My order and government are being established. I think that's all of that. Nope, just a little bit more. We're nearly done. Matthew 6. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. How is it in heaven? Well, we're going to look at it. How God set heaven up? It's what he's setting earth up. It's supposed to be the same. We have to wait till God finally comes for this to happen. No, it's supposed to be here now. 4, because the kingdom's in you anyway, right? Revelation 4:1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, the throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now to the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. So what do you see when you first walk in? I'll keep reading. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, the second like a calf, the third beast the face of a man, the fourth beast like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts to give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, he liveth forever and ever. The 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. What did they see? You see the 12 apostles of the Lamb and 12 leaders from the tribes of Israel. God's government. All right. Heaven's reflected in the earth, y'all. That's the way it's supposed to be. As the body of Christ, we are heaven in the earth. It's already in us. The kingdom of God, Jesus said, is within you. We don't have to wait for a rapture. We don't even have to wait on God to do any changes. We just need to do what we know to do and let it unfold.